covenant with a big daddy God that placed his big self inside of us. Yes. Come on, that's like a lot of stuff to house. That's like amazing. I want to share about what just a couple of things that happened with Randy, but I want to share something that just happened today. See, I don't go to a church to, like I said, preach and say, look at me and look at all the people I can heal. I go to a place to multiply so that the church gets it that we're not going to church. We are the church. It's a message. It's God's pouring out his heart because he wants his people to raise up because we're supposed to be ambassadors. We represent the kingdom. Every privilege of the kingdom, we are supposed to walk out. We're supposed to realize that we have, but because we perish for lack of what we don't know, we very rarely walk out what we have. So wherever I go, he's with me. He doesn't stop. It's like a 24/7 thing. It's a 24/7 kingdom gospel. It's amazing. We were at a place today with my family. We went to a big place, and I'm not going to mention any names of where it was, but it was a big church in York County. And they were having like this function outside. And I went in and we're just walking and I saw a lady with a big knee brace on. And I went up to her and I asked her what was wrong. And she's hardly walking good. She's hurting real bad. And I said, "Hun, what happened?" She said, "I broke my kneecap in half." I picture that. Painful, right? She just had surgery done. She's up, she's walking, she has a wire mesh in there. I remember of a testimony of a girl, a lady that came here, that we prayed for her knee, that she had wire mesh. And a 10-year-old prayed for her, I think, right? Little girl. She went back down in North Carolina to the original physician because she could bend and do stuff that she couldn't do. And the wire mesh isn't there anymore. That's really cool. X-ray before, X-ray after. Check it out. That's awesome. That's amazing to me. So I'm remembering that, and I said, "Oh, honey," I said, "you got a lot of pain?" She goes, "Oh, tremendous." I said, "Well, can I pray for you?" So I knelt down and prayed for her. She was just visiting. She wasn't from the church. She was just in there. All the pain went away, and her knee got on fire. And she was really thankful, and I got to share just how much God loves her and how amazing she is to God. That's like a really good word, and you can't go wrong, because everybody you talk to, they're amazing to God. It's a great prophetic word besides Jesus loves you. You can't go wrong, because everybody in this whole world, regardless of what they believe, regardless of what they've done, is amazing to God. Everybody. And we question that, and we say, well, no, first they have to get saved, then they have to get that. No, that's not how God does things. I'm pretty sure that God so loved the world. He just loved the world. He just loved them despite where their life was. It's one thing to not know it. It's another thing for that love to come down and come upon you. Like my life. He came upon me and loved me when I was the most unlovable. Because he knew that's not who I was. He knew that he had more things for me. He had a plan. He was going to take and destroy hell in me, fill me with him so that I could destroy hell everywhere I go. That's a great plan. Thank you for mercy, God. So she walked away. All the pain was gone, and she was really happy. Destiny and I were walking out. Mom and Zoe were ahead of us. Another lady was walking up with a cane, and she's in a lot of pain. She's walking like this. So Destiny and I walked over, and I said, "Hey," I said, "what's going on?" She said, "Well, I had two hip replacements, but this one's going bad, and this, that." I said, "So there's a lot of pain in there." She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, can we pray for you?" She goes, "Oh, that's sweet." Now, Destiny's with me. So Destiny's under the radar. She's 11. Oh, isn't that sweet? Right? So Destiny puts her hand on her hip, and we prayed, and the lady's hip got on fire. Because of what she's been taught, because of being taught that that stuff's not for today, her hip got on fire, and she looked at us, and I said, "What's going on?" I said, "Is it warm in there?" She goes, "It's hot." I said, "Well, try working." She goes, "We're done here." But God touched it anyway. So now she's got to deal with that. That's a lot better than saying, well, God can move. We are the move of God. We are the move of God. So her hip, she's walking away and she's not limping like that anymore. And she's upset because she's been taught that that doesn't happen today. As a matter of fact, there are people out there being taught that this is of the devil. If the devil is healing in Jesus' name, we're in big trouble. We all might as well just pack it up and go home and just forget it. We're all in trouble. So this is the kind of stuff that you're going to run into. When she walked away, I said, "Hun," I said, "do you go to church here?" She said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, God bless you. You're amazing. You have a good day." Or I could have got offended and walked away and realized that my war is not against flesh and blood. That's what I realized. I've been taught that since the beginning, not by a man, but because the Holy Spirit is the author of that book, and the Holy Spirit will breathe on that and make it life to you. If anybody in here has been raised in the church and thinks you have a lot to unlearn, anybody here raised in the church? That people say we have a lot to unlearn. I prayed, I went to God, I said, "God, help me, because I'm getting this everywhere I go." "Well, you're lucky, because you're new, this will wear off." First off, they say that, which is just, his fire gets hotter. Right? The only reason the fire goes out is because trash has been piled on top of it and it's smoldering. And it's been piled up right here in the strongholds up here. Now all of a sudden we got a lot of stuff to get out. If we've been raised in the church, the Holy Spirit said this. He said, "Tell my people that since they were raised in the church, that I deposited a wealth of information inside of them. They have been raised and the word is in them. All they need to do is ask me to breathe on it." That's amazing. That's like such a benefit. I have to get in there and constantly, "Holy Spirit, make it real. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, make this my life. Make this my life, because I don't ever want to represent you and just in theory, because theory does not matter. Theory wrecks people. It's a gospel of the kingdom. It's not in word only, but power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, 1 Corinthians 4:20, but of power. There's power in the gospel, and if it's not changing lives, if it's not changing people whom you come across, something's wrong. Either we're wearing a basket on our head. We can't do that. We can't afford to be a basket head. Jesus said, "A light, they put it on the top of a hill, so it lights the whole city." He doesn't say when you go to work, you be quiet. Right? Come on. Yay, this is good news, God. We went to the mall today. And a dear friend of ours is working at a recruiting center in the mall. And I walked in there and said, "Hey, man, what's going on?" And I had Zoe. And he's sitting back there and he goes, "Hey, what's going on?" I saw him at the fair when we went to the York Fair. And when I was there at the fair, this was whenever, a month ago, or not even, right? We went to the fair, they had their recruiting center. They had the thing out there with like the chin-up bars. Did anybody see it? Where you had pull-ups and stuff? Well, their one lead combat sergeant guy, who was trained by Royce Gracie, who was like the ultimate fighting champion dude that started it out a ways back. Here he had a herniated disc in his back. He's in severe pain. He's not a Christian. And one of his legs is like an inch short. So I talked to my buddy, whom I saw today at the recruiting center, and I said, "Man," I said, "you got to come over here. Sit down, man. God's going to grow your leg out." And he goes, "What?" And sat him down, and there's a couple other drones, whatever they are, there, and his leg grew out, and he freaked out. And he stood up, and he's like, "Oh, my gosh." He couldn't do the training that he was doing and train people like he could because he was in all that pain. But now he's changed. Not because I went there to do ministry, because I'm living with the King, and because I live with Jesus. He lives in me. He wants out. I'm the only one that chooses to hold him back. It's me. I refuse to do it. I read in the scriptures, check this out, that I've been purchased with a price. And I'm supposed to glorify God in my body and my spirit. That I'm a temple of God. that I'm supposed to glorify him, that I'm supposed to do everything as unto him, whether in word or deed. So everything I do is supposed to be unto him. So when I go somewhere, yeah, I got to go and shop, but man, I'm going to live for him. Why? Because there's all kinds of opportunities and my life's not mine. It's a sold out life. It's supposed to be a sold out life. A man found a treasure in a field and sold everything he had just to possess it. The kingdom of God is like treasure. And once you find out that this is that, all of a sudden you sell out everything just to possess it. This is an all or none deal. This isn't, okay, well, I'm going to kind of live for God. No. Let's just represent him to the world and give the world a good glimpse of Jesus. Come on. Ah! I hope that you guys are happy because I got a lot of happiness in me. Get him, God. So I'm in there today and I walked in and I said, hey, how you doing? There was a lady standing in front of the desk talking to him. He goes, this is that guy that saw you when he was coming out of the parking lot at a church that I went to 3 years ago. And when I came down the hill, he was talking to her alongside the road, and I heard a word of knowledge about her knee as we're driving by. So I said, she has a problem in her right knee. Have a good day, and just drove. He ended up praying for her knee got healed. She doesn't just go into that center. She's there today. It's a setup. Oh my gosh, something's changed about you. Maybe your hair. Probably. So I got to share, just share the kingdom and share God's love for her. Her friend is there, and she's freaked out. She's kind of standing back, and I said, you have a problem in your neck. She goes, yes, because she's wondering what's going on now. But now she's never met me before, and now her neck has a problem, and God just shared that. So now her neck's going to get healed. So now it's going to put validity to everything I'm sharing. God's not afraid to back up his word. He wants to do it. So I'm sharing with this girl, and this other girl sitting there going, what are they talking about? And bang, and God healed her neck, and then they were freaking out. This guy told me that because that combat sergeant was healed, he said if they ever have problems, they're going to call. I'm going to go in there to all these different army or national people. That's awesome. That's an awesome door to have. Go love on them and give them the kingdom. Right? That's amazing. Yeah. Sorry. I'm like all freaked out. Am I okay? It is a good day. I am so glad that I'm not under the law and I can just be me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. When I was up there at the healing school they did at Yale, because we went to Yale just a couple weeks ago, I was going up there with the film crews to film God on the Streets. And we did, and it was really fun. It was like amazing. I went in and I listened to these. The first thing they had was they had a symposium that's what they called it. It was at a church. We were at a church where Jonathan Edwards, his brother-in-law, preached for 50 years at this church back in the... They had a graveyard underneath the church, man. The church was built on you go down there, there's a crypt, they call it. You go down there and you like walk around, there's gravestones everywhere in the basement. I never see anything like it. But anyway, I listen to these people share and I'm like, because they're all doctors and psychiatrists. And the Holy Spirit said, be very careful about who you talk to, because they're actually trying to get divine healing into the hospitals. Reiki's already in there. They already have different methods. They're trying to bring divine healing into the hospitals where the patients will have a choice on what to choose, this method, or this method. So they're actually pushing for that. And I didn't want to mess that up. But I listened to some of the stuff and I was like, this gospel, look, in the garden, we lost relationship. Man's spirit was dominant. When man fell and was pushed out of the garden, man's head became dominant. Man's mind became dominant. That's why it's so crucial to renew our mind. That's why it's so crucial to know what God says about in His Word, where the Holy Spirit breathes on it and renews this and starts to fix this, because we have a lot of thinking that needs to be straightened up. And I listened to these people and I was like, whoa, because I couldn't relate to them, because they're using all these big words. And I was like, whoa, but all these doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists were sitting there, and there was like 75 or 80 of them, and I'm like, I just have no idea. Just put me in a hospital and let me in front of the sick people. But that's great that they're doing that. That's awesome. So I went up to one lady, because like the Holy Spirit said, you can go share with her. So I went up to this lady. You don't understand. See, my life isn't a hold back, hold back, hold back. My life is a go, 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 everywhere I go. So I was like freaking out, because I'm, and most of these doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists were hurting. So I was like, oh gosh. So I went up to the one lady and I said, hey, how are you? And she said, good. I said, are you a doctor? She said, I'm a one of the psychologists or psychiatrists, I don't know. She said, but what I do is I deal with drug addiction, and I counsel drug addiction, and I try to help them. I'm like, you're the one. So I shared with this lady what God did in my life, and I'm sharing with her the kingdom and what it means and what He's done. She looks at me, she goes, wait, you're telling me that you've never had a craving? I said, not one. I crave Jesus. She goes, hold on a second. Say this again. So I'm sharing with her again and again and again. And I said, I want to pray for you that you can just, that God would give you what He's shown me so that you could just do the one-step program. Right? And so she let me pray for her, and she goes, thank you. And I shared my whole testimony with her in a short version of about 10 minutes. And she was like, because I have a wrecked past. But it's all under the blood. It doesn't have a voice in my life. It can't even whisper. Satan is so exposed that if he tries to whisper something that's not me, that's part of my past, my sheep hear my voice, and the strangers they won't follow. I know the stranger's voice because the Word of God is the shepherd. He's the shepherd. He's the one we follow. So allowing the Holy Spirit to make that alive, all of a sudden I know what voice is His and what voice is not. So when a voice comes, I know what voice is His and what voice. So when we watch the news and we hear the economic trash of this country and how bad it's getting, and the market's crashing here and crashing there and crashing there, I know my shepherd. His voice is this right here. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. He doesn't say, seek first the kingdom and my righteousness unless the economy fails. He doesn't say that. That might be a fact, but His word is true. And I represent Him, and I represent, and look, watch this. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom. My finances depend upon heaven's economy. And I think it's pretty good up there. Streets of gold. He's got change to spare. Oh, that's a good word, man. I'm telling you, because right now it's not looking good on TV. That's why I don't watch it.
Amen.
You try filling yourself with that TV thing for, scratch that, take that off. Turn off the TV. Praise God. Man. Ugh. Oh, God. There's so much stuff running through my head and my heart right now. We went out to eat at the Texas Roadhouse. The night before, was that night after the symposium, we went out to eat, and I got the film guys with me, like five of them that help with the filming. So we walk into the Texas Roadhouse, and it's packed, and there's peanuts all over the floor, you know. And I saw a lady behind the desk, behind the booth. We had to go and give our name and say how many. So Randy and everybody's there. So we got like 30 people. So we got 30. And there, you know, there's everybody, it's just packed. So we had to divide up into groups. And the guys, I was going to sit with the media guys. So we're sitting in there, and the girl behind the thing is just standing there. They're standing on their feet all the time. So I just asked, I said, do you have pain in your feet? I didn't have a word of knowledge. I just asked her, do you have pain in your feet? She said, oh, it's terrible. I said, you too. And she goes, why? And I said, you have pain in your back. She said, well, she goes, yeah. She goes, both of them. She goes, why? I said, because you're on your feet all the time. I said, now you can get rid of it. She said, how? I said, let me see your hands. I didn't ask her if I could pray for her. Her hands are a safe place. There's a wall in between us too. So I said to her, let me see your hands. And she said, okay. She gave me her hands and I wrapped my thumb on them and I just started praying in Jesus' name. She starts losing it. This girl beside her is really laughing. And other waitresses and waiters are looking and saying, what's going on? It's so funny because they're laughing. But I know God. And he lives in me. And he wants to get all over people. His presence. So I said, what's going on your feet? And she stops laughing. She goes, it's gone. I said, isn't that funny? That's a real deal. That's really the deal. And she's like, oh my gosh, it works. I said, yeah, Jesus works. It's amazing. You should see what he gave up just to get you back. And the girl beside me, I said, you have feet pain too. Come on. She goes, I go to church. I said, that's awesome, but this isn't what I'm talking about right now. Are you in pain? Yeah, but I'm okay. I'm good. She's like, let him do it. So she wouldn't let me do it. So it was the most probably uncomfortable 10 minutes of that girl's life because I was standing this far away from her for 10 minutes, just standing there waiting for our table, just smiling at her while her friend's feet and back are healed and they're freaking out. And she's like uncomfortable, doesn't know what to say. And I wasn't being mean or nothing. I was just loving on people and praying for people as they're going by. So they take us to our table. The girl that's feet was made whole is the hostess that's going to walk us to our table. So we walk to the table and Andre and all of us are there. And we walked over and there's a table and there's a guy sitting there with a knee brace on right there at the corner as we're going around the corner. And I stopped and I said, oh my gosh, what's wrong with your knee? He goes, why? I said, is it arthritis? He goes, yeah, I don't have any cartilage. I said, oh. I said, this is going to be awesome. I said, can I pray for you? This lady that's feet are healed now doesn't question whether this works, but questions whether the restaurant's going to be in an uproar. Because I stopped at a table on the way to our table, and there's five people behind me, right? And there's people moving everywhere, waitresses and waiters. Picture this. It's a busy time. It's not just an empty restaurant. So he goes, I said, can I pray for you? And the wife goes like this and looks at me. And I said, no, really. I just want to pray for you. And he goes, okay. So I kneeled down in the peanuts and I put my hand on his knee. And he goes, it's hot. I said, awesome. Do me a favor, stand up and check it. So he stands up. He goes, the pain's gone. He goes, the cracking's gone. What'd you do? They're Christians. He told me. The wife unfolded her arms. She goes, who are you? I said, I'm just a Christian. She said, where are you from? I said, down south. I don't want to say what church, this, that, the other thing. We are the church. I don't tell people. Nothing against Harvest Chapel. I love this place. This is my home church when I get to come, and I love it. But I'm not trying to gear people and guide people to go to a church. I'm trying to help people understand we are the church. It's not just a place we go to. We are the church. We be the church. That was Ebonics. So she's like, what is going on? I said, you have a problem with your neck, and I got a word of knowledge. And this girl behind me is talking to this guy saying, are you serious? That's what happened to my feet. This is real. So like, she let me pray for her neck, and she had a fused neck. It became unfused. Right there. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So they're freaking out like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And I'm sharing the kingdom. I'm preaching the kingdom. Heal them and tell them. Or preach the kingdom and then heal them. Either way, it's a show and tell gospel, right? It's preach the kingdom is at hand. Go, preach the kingdom. Matthew 10, go and preach the kingdom. Then heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. I haven't seen any lepers. And I've prayed for a couple people that have been dead and I haven't seen them raised. But they're going to because it's a command. God backs his command. That's what he said. He said to do it. In Luke 10, he said, go and heal the sick and then tell them the kingdom. That's what he said. That's our commission. Jesus, look, 1 John 3:8, for this reason the Son of Man was made manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. Now we're to follow him. So everything we do and say is to do the same thing, to destroy hell. That's what our commission is. People are like, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to do this or am I going to do that? Just go preach the kingdom, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Pick something that you want to do. Go do it as unto the Lord and not for man. And then go preach the kingdom, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Amen. That's the commission. That's it. We're like, well, I don't know if I want this ministry or that ministry. It's his ministry. Just pick something. Again, go do it. Like Nike, just do it. Get in the game. Come on, this is like a serious thing. This is a full contact sport, Christianity. It is. It's no spectators allowed. The kingdom's forcefully advancing. We don't just, come on, we got to go get them. So the lady gets healed, the man gets healed. My waitress, the hostess is here. She looks at me when they're both healed and they're both happy. And our waitress that's taken us to our table is standing behind her, and she goes, she's next. This is really what's going on. And the media crew, we haven't ever been out there. And I've told testimonies at Global and shared about how God just moved profusely because we're the move of God. And it's great to hear about him. It's another thing to be right there. It's another thing to be right there on it. Because honestly, I could share testimony after testimony after testimony. I could share going to the York Fair and seeing 20 people healed and say, well, that's great, but that sounds a little bit... You weren't there, I was. So now all of a sudden, this waitress has a leg that's an inch short. She has 3 herniated discs. So we go back to our table, sit her down, pray for her leg. Her leg grows out. She flips out. Her back is healed. It's on fire. She's in constant pain. No more pain. The hostess is like, you're not kidding, are you? She goes, my feet, those people, what's going on? Oh! And I'm sharing the kingdom, taking it right back to him because it's him. That's what he's doing. I'm taking the focus off of me. But this waitress goes back and she tells the whole crew. So in 5 minutes, we have 13 waitresses and waiters around the table. This is really, really what's going on. Every waitress and waiter that came to the table and every cook we prayed for, and there was about 20 of them in the whole night, every one of them was healed of whatever they had. It was a massive breakout of love in the restaurant. And they kept coming back, and I kept preaching the kingdom, and the media crew was like, they travel with Randy, so they see this. It's a constant thing in the healing schools. It's always, but this is different. This is an out there as you go all the time. I love what Randy does, and I love that he has a heart for America, because he's actually got a, God's just really changed his heart around from other countries to here. He's an amazing father. He's just an amazing man. He is. This is what God's doing. He is raising his church up to be the church everywhere we go. It's amazing. That's like awesome. One of the girls we saw the next night, we went out 2 nights later, we were out on the street, and we were in front of a bar with the cameras on the sidewalks. It was nighttime, and we're just getting people as they come out of the bar, just talking to them. Hey, Jared, do you like the supernatural? Well, yeah, what do you mean? Have you ever seen the supernatural? It was just cool. Because we wanted to show them the supernatural, because there's a darkness that's crushing the world, and there's the supernatural part of darkness that is like, man, it's got that much power, and we got the kingdom. It's like forever. So this girl comes running out of the bar. She goes, Todd! I said, what's going on? She was the waitress, our first waitress, the lady that's leg grew out. She's in the bar. She was bipolar and is off of the meds and no more voices. That's awesome. That's incredible. All because we went out to eat. That's like incredible. They filmed something. I think they have a cigar shop. We were walking down Yale. Actually, went into Yale, into Phelps Hall, which is the main gate that you can walk in. And then it's a big, huge like yard inside of there. Man, it's like the prettiest place. Yale was originally designed to raise up evangelists. It's raising up the intellect now. to work against the very thing it was founded in. So we walked in there, and the film guys were with us, and I looked to the left, and there were security people in there. And I said, man, there's security. I said, as soon as you come in here with the cameras, they're going to be on you. So he's like, okay, well, why don't you go in and just ask, just look around and see. So I went in, and I went right up to security. I said, hey, guys, we're shooting a show, and it's going to be on the Supernatural. And they're like, come with me. So they escorted me into the security office. So I went into the security office, and there's this guy there, and he's in there, and I said, and he sat down behind the desk, and he's looking at me, you know, like, what's going on? I don't look too Yale-ish. I'm in shorts with a don't go to church shirt on in the front. So I'm trying to talk to him about what we want to do, and he's like, well, that sounds interesting, you know, and he's a really nice guy. And I said, man, I said, you got arthritis in your knee. He said, yes, I do. I said, will you do me a favor? Just come out from behind the desk just for a second. And he did. And as soon as he got out behind the desk, I jumped on his knee and just commanded the arthritis to go. And thank you, God, for brand new ligaments, tendons, all that stuff. Brand new squishy stuff. Simple prayer. And he goes, whoa, what's going on? I said, check your knee. Bend and check it. He's bending and he's checking his knee. He goes, that's really good. I said, that's what we want to do on your campus. And I turned around and I showed him the back of my shirt and it said, be the church. He goes, I like that. I said, me too. He goes, well, I can call this lady and we have a phone call into her. We're going to fill out papers. We might be able to go back in there if they let us go inside there. Because if you're going to go into Yale, what you have to do is you'd have to have all your cameras in bags and you'd have to take them down into the heart of Yale and then break them out and have a very limited time before they shut you down. So it'd be good to just obey the law and just, right? Right. Wow. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, I just got one more thing to share. This is a real deal. I'm sharing the truth. I'm just sharing. I've missed you guys. I haven't been able to come and share at all. And I'm sharing testimonies, but I'm sharing scripture in the midst of it all. And then I have somewhere that I want to talk about. It's just real important. We went by a cigar shop, and there are guys there smoking cigars outside on the porch. And one guy had tattoos on his arms, and he had flames coming off his one arm. I said, I like that tattoo, man. He goes, yeah. I said, what's that mean to you? And he told me what it means. I said, man, I said, that would be good, because I could just the fire coming off your hand. I love that. So I'm just sharing with him, you know, and I said, hey, man. I said, we're doing a Supernatural TV show. He goes, what? I said, the Supernatural TV, and the camera guys have to stay back until you get permission, because they have to give you permission and everything, and then they have to sign all this stuff. So the camera guys are sitting back waiting for the okay. And I said, look, I said, you got some stuff going on in your back and your neck. He goes, yeah, I do. I said, man, I said, look, one of your legs is short, and I had a word of knowledge. And I said, and God wants to grow your leg out. He goes, you're kidding, right? I said, no. I said, but we want to get it on TV because it'll be so good. He goes, man, I don't know about all that. I said, don't you want your leg to grow out? He goes, well, yeah, but you're crazy. I said, well, here's what I want to do. I want you to think that I'm crazy, but let me film this. He goes, okay, go ahead. So he brings the thing over, and everybody's like, kind of like, you know, doing the rooster thing. And there's a guy sitting beside him. And I said to him, I said, okay. I said, and the girl comes out. And she works there. She's got tattoos all over and piercings and stuff. And she works inside this cigar place. And I said, you got something going on with you. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, some kind of pain or something. I said, because God wants to heal it. She goes, are you serious? I said, yeah. I said, and we're going to film God growing his leg out. She goes, well, let me ask my manager. I said, why don't you go ask him and make sure it's okay, because we're on his premises. We're on the sidewalk right out in front. And so she goes in, she asks the manager, and she's serving some people. There's two Yale students sitting right here beside it, and then there's two guys right here, and then there's a bunch of people, and this lady comes out. She has some kind of disease in her foot that's incurable. I don't know what it is, but Steve Morey from Up at Global, he announced what it was. He said it's incurable. It's completely after they filmed it and stuff. So what we did was we got this guy's leg grown out on camera, and then like his neck and stuff getting healed, and they were freaking out. The guy goes, can God do that for me? And we said, well, absolutely. What's going on? And this guy was freaking out. Like, cigar went down and everything. Freaking out. Because I'm not there to convict them of anything. The Holy Spirit does that. I don't point out their stuff. The Holy Spirit does. We got to stop pointing out stuff. Oh, that's a good word, man. So this guy goes, I just came from the doctors. They diagnosed me with a liver. I said, stop. And he goes, I've been in pain for so long. And he was going to go into detail and tell me all the different things that were wrong. And I said, look, I said, well, God's going to do the same thing for you. And this lady goes, did his leg grow out? Because she saw how short it was when she looked out the window, but she wasn't able to come out, the one that worked there. So she came out. She goes, oh my gosh, it did grow. I said, yeah. I said, and now God's going to heal his liver. He goes, man, I hope so, because I'm in tremendous pain. He couldn't even raise his arm up at all. So I had the guy that's leg grew out pray for this guy's liver. So, because he's a Christian, he's Catholic. As soon as his leg grew out, he's like, yeah. And it's on camera. It's so good, man. It's so good. It's so real. It's raw. It's the reality. It's God reality. So, like, all of a sudden, this guy, his liver is like, he has fire in his back. He goes, oh my gosh. He goes, oh my gosh. He goes, it's really gone. And he's freaking out, right? He goes, can he do anything about anxiety? I said, oh, you betcha. So the girl goes, do me. So she sat down, you know. She's got her ankle, that or her foot. Something fell on it and crushed it and caused a nerve condition. RS? That's it. It's incurable. Yeah, I know, but like by medical standards, it was constant pain, constant terrible stuff. So I had these two guys that just got healed, these Catholic guys, pray for her foot. And her foot got healed, and she freaked out. The Yale guys watched the leg grow out. They're sitting there. I had them stand up, I gathered everybody around, and they're like, what do you do with that? Because they're taught intellect all day. The one of them, like, they said, well, what do you hear about me? And I called out exactly what they were going for in their college. Exactly the degrees, exactly where they're headed, exactly what they're going to do. And that's pretty good, man. And he goes, well, there's a lot of different gods. I said, there is. I said, in India, there's like 350 million, but there's only one Jesus. And all this stuff today, this is Jesus. So I didn't argue with them and try to, like, they saw, I believe this. I believe that there is such a sowing and watering that I don't have to talk someone into praying a prayer. I don't have to go up to them and say, pray this prayer with me, and you're going to heaven. It's not even what Jesus said. He didn't say that. He said, no one comes to the Father except by him. He's the way. The way to what? Not the way to heaven, the way to the Father. That's so good. He's the way back to Daddy. Yes, heaven's the end result. But this, we've taught this thing and said, pray this prayer with me and you're going to heaven and never live for God. This is called surrender. This is why we raise our hands. It's a universal sign of surrender. I give up. When you're a little kid and you want your dad to pick you up because you fell down, Daddy. It's a good thing. So now all these people are made whole and everybody's freaking out. A guy comes off the street out of nowhere. She actually said, I wish the titanium man was here. I said, who's the titanium man? I'm thinking, the tin man. What's going on? She goes, well, this guy was sitting up like 30 feet and he fell and crushed and has all kinds of titanium all through his body. Not even 3 minutes later, he comes walking up on the scene after everybody's healed. Out of nowhere, she goes, there he is. I said, you're the titanium man? He goes, that's what they call me. She goes, have him punch the ground once. I said, no. She said, it's all metal. It doesn't hurt him. He goes, I will. I said, stop. He pulled his shirt back, and he had a pacemaker in there because his heart was bad. There were some problems in his heart. He pulled it back, and I was so fixed on this pacemaker because it stood out like that far right on the top of his skin. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I said, well, I'm just going to put my hand on your chest, and we're going to pray. What I didn't see is that he had a tumor right here on his sternum. And when he pulled his shirt back, it was gone. And they got it on camera. Like, his tumor disappeared. The guy freaked out. Oh my God, he said. It's gone. And I'm like, what? I'm like, the pacemaker? He goes, no, this big tumor thing I had on my chest. I didn't see it, but they got it on film. I think that's pretty awesome. He just had a biopsy like 2 days before to find out what was in this thing. There's no thing there anymore. That's so cool. And all this happened all because I just lived for him. Oh, okay. Let's do this.
Genesis 1. No, I'm just kidding.
Go to John 3. Yeah. I heard the youth meeting last night was pretty good. The youth are getting on fire. That's like amazing. You know, we had that Activate Your Faith conference a little while ago. Do you know that there was a radical transformation? Who here was at that conference? Has there been any fruit in your life? All it is surrender and seeing who you are. And all of a sudden, bang, it's addicting. We're built to be addicted to this. It's the kingdom. He wants to flow through you. You're the only one that shuts the faucet off. This is how, by thinking. Our brain shuts down. Our brain shuts down the power of God. We exclude ourselves. We say, well, that's not for me. That's for him. We see somebody young and moving in the gifts, a word of knowledge, or I come up here and you see Todd, oh my gosh, that's unattainable. Wrong. God can move through anybody. He said these signs will follow believers. He didn't say these signs will follow anybody but believers. Who here's a believer? How can you exclude yourself and say that's not for you? This isn't a 30-day money-back guarantee. Been there, tried that. Didn't work for me. No. That's not God. That's man. Is that making sense? In John 3, this is the famous born-again chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can say these things that you do. We know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can memorize the scripture like you do. We know that you're a teacher come from God because no one could have gone through 4 years of seminary school like you did. This is amazing. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. Is God with you? Then it's for you. This is real. We can't put Jesus on a different plane. Jesus said you're supposed to be like him. He's the one we're following. If anyone say that they abide in him, he also ought walk just as he walked. That's in 1 John. He says we're supposed to walk just as he walked. We have to understand that Jesus didn't do the miracles as God. He did them as a man in perfect relationship with God. He did the miracles as a man because he was tempted at all points. Can you tempt God? Can God be tempted? Was Jesus tempted at all points? Therefore, he was a man. He's the man sitting at the right hand. This is huge, guys. If we get this, it puts us on the same ground. He said, he who believes in me, these same things, John 14, 12, these same things that I do, he's going to do, and greater things. Because I'm going to go to be with the Father, which means the Holy Spirit would be poured out. Jesus never ever did miracles as God. He did them as a man in perfect relationship with God. Then we say, well, sin separates us from God. It doesn't separate you from God because how much sin does the blood of Jesus cover? Some or all? All. So the sin issue's been dealt with. So now we have to realize that we're on the same playing field. This is one of the things that we do in these Power and Love conferences is bring people to the place where they understand this is for them. These conferences that Dan and I are doing that are, there's just tremendous stuff. There's impossible to tell all the stuff that happens. It just happens. But these people are saying this is the most important conference, the most intense conference I've ever been at in my life. It changed my life. That's what these are, because we're not just hearing. We're hearing and doing. We're going out like that Activate Your Faith conference. We're going and hearing, and then we're going out and we're acting on it. Then we're coming back and hearing, and then we're going out and acting on it again and again and again. And before long, no one can talk you out of whether that person was healed, because they're crying in the mall, bawling because they're completely restored. And you're like, really? God so much wants to honor His word, guys. He so much does. Jesus says to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Praying a prayer and knowing that you're going to heaven doesn't make you see the kingdom of God. If it was just about praying a prayer and going to heaven, as soon as you prayed the prayer, you'd go. You would disappear. You would pray the prayer and poof. But God left you here to do something, to destroy the works of the enemy. We're to be ambassadors of the kingdom. We're to know whose we are and who lives in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ is formed in you. The more you walk this gospel out, the more you see the word and do it, not just hear it and not do it. Jesus says that's kind of foolish, right? The more you hear the word and just dare to act on it, the more God will honor His word and transform you. And you'll be transformed from glory to glory. You're transformed back into the same image that we were before the fall of man. In the garden, we were separated from God, and man's mind became dominant, and man's spirit became subservient because they fell and they obeyed the stranger's voice. So now the same stranger is whispering, trying to get you to follow it. And if you don't know what the master says, my sheep hear my voice, and the strangers, they won't follow. If you don't know what the master says, you'll think that any voice could be God. Is this making sense? Please, God. Nicodemus is like, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born again? And be born. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless he is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We've taken that scripture and we've made it a pray this prayer and go to heaven. We have people out on the street, because that's all they know, banging a Bible on people, telling them that they're sinners, and if they don't repent, they're going to hell. That doesn't bring people into the kingdom. If you get scared into the kingdom, you have to stay scared to feel still saved. If you get scared into the kingdom to try to escape hell, you have to feel scared every day in order to think you're in still. If love brings you in, love sustains you. It's by His grace. It's by His mercy. His mercy is so huge. His grace is so amazing. Look, when we get down here to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The one right before that, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Go to John 17. We hit this relationship thing so much because it's what this is all about. It's all about relationship. It's all about who you are in Him and who He is in you. Who you are in Him allows you to die to who you were. Who He is in you is allowing you to live for Him now. Who you are in Him allows you to die to who you were. And who He is in you allows you to live for Him today. In John 17, in 3, Jesus' definition of eternal life is this, that they might know you. So this is eternal life. Not the streets of gold. Not the heaven, pray this prayer and go to heaven someday. Eternal life starts the second that you ask Him to come and live in you. Eternal life is knowing Him. Eternal life is relationship. And this is eternal life. Jesus, what's the definition? This right here, guys. That they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So in John 3, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved the world that God gave the Word. The Word. Jesus was the Word that became flesh. We are to be a walking Word. We are to be a living epistle. Our life is to become the Word made flesh. We're supposed to be living epistles, known and read by all men. Dan and I say it all the time. You don't know the word until you become it. You don't know the word until your life reveals the word. That's a strong statement. That's God. That's relationship. That's the word becomes who you are. Everything you say, everything you think, everything you do becomes the word. Everything you think from a kingdom's perspective. A kingdom perspective, it's a new perspective. It comes with the new birth. So God loved the world so much that he gave the word of God, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, have eternal life. So God so loved the world that he gave his word. So that if we put our confidence in the Holy Spirit and we ask him to reveal the word to us, what happens is our belief system will completely alter. Belief means to be fully convinced. So we're fully convinced in him. We're not going to perish but have eternal life. So perish doesn't just mean go to hell. We've taken that and made it about God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. And if you pray this prayer to me, you'll never go to hell. Which is true, but there's a deeper truth. It's not about not going to hell. It's about living from him right now, for him right now, as an ambassador, living for him everywhere we go, that Christ in you is revealed everywhere you go. And Christ is formed in you. Paul said he labored as in childbirth in Galatians 4:19. Is that what it is? I think it is. He labored as in childbirth until Christ be formed in you. After they prayed the prayer, Paul said, I haven't ceased to pray for you. I haven't ceased to give mention of you in my prayers. It's in Ephesians. He said, ever since I heard you prayed the prayer, I haven't ceased to give thanks for you, to mention you in my prayers. He said, I labored as in childbirth. Childbirth is painful. I never went through it, but I watched my wife. Paul said he labored as in childbirth. Until Christ be formed in people. Why? Because just praying the prayer, being born again, is essential to unlock your potential. But if you don't realize who you really are and who he is really in you, you'll never live to your full potential of what you have. So Christ is formed in you. So the more you walk this gospel out, the more Christ is formed in you, and the more do you destroy hell everywhere you go. This is a real deal. Paul labored as in childbirth. Until Christ be formed in you. Was destiny like 17 hours? We need to hunker down, man. I'm serious. This is like a big deal, guys. Until Christ be formed in you. It's the chief of all mysteries. Go to Romans 5. I just got born again. I love it. I just love it. This whole thing is just, it's just, okay, every word in here is amazing. But I want to hit this one thing. Romans 5:17. It would just do you good to like just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal every word in this whole book. But this is amazing. And it starts off by saying, therefore, having been justified by faith, just as if we never sinned, just as if our past didn't even matter, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, just as if everything's gone. The grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God swallows up everything. It's completely crushed. If you're hearing a voice from your past, it's not God reminding you. It's just not. He wouldn't do that. Why would God forgive your past and forget it just to bring it back up again? We act like God's double-minded. He's not. He actually says double-mindedness isn't good. Makes us unstable. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance. Abundance, the definition of abundance, is violently excessive. Much more those who receive violently excessive amounts of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. And I think in the King James it says, will reign as kings. Yeah. We're supposed to reign as kings. But because our minds were messed up because of the fall of man, it crushed our mind and made our mind God. And made our spirit subservient. So what Jesus is doing is restoring that which was lost. Our spirit wants to have dominion. God wants our spirit to have dominion. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory that's formed. And the more we see this, the more our mind gets one-track minded, gospel-track minded. The more we see this, the more we just have to become like Him because that's what He wants. He wants to form this in us until our spirit man is a giant and our flesh is small. Our flesh can't have a voice. It needs to be quiet. It really does. I would encourage fasting, and I won't talk about it, but I would encourage it. You'll find out just how much your flesh is alive. Yeah, but what about me? So in the garden, God gave us dominion, right? He said, subdue the earth. Man fell. That dominion, those keys that man was handed by God in the garden, Satan took. Became the God of this world. Jesus came back to restore that which was lost. So now the keys have been handed back. Jesus said, in that day, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Meaning, if it's already been bound in heaven, it can be bound here. Is there any sickness or disease in heaven? No, it's God's will that we bind on earth what's already been bound in heaven. Is there health in heaven? Is there complete wholeness? So it's God's will that we release, that we loose health here. The keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. This is the original reason why we're created, guys. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth He did give to the children of men. So the earth He gave to us to have stewardship over everything. So it's imperative that we get back to this. He wants us to reign as kings. Sin made us reign in death. This is so imperative. If any man be in Christ, he is a... What's that mean? What's new creation mean? Guys, check this out. He made me brand new. I'm not just crazy. His word said it. He said, if any man be in Christ, behold, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And we say, well, how can that be? Because God said so. Yeah, but no. Yeah, buts and what ifs are devils. Be very careful because the intellect enters in. Because remember when I said God's man's mind became God? All of a sudden when we see a scripture like that because of what we've been taught in the world, well, that can't be true because blah, 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 blah. It's the stranger's voice and it comes in the form of our own and we hear it like that. You don't hear it. The devil doesn't come and say, yeah, just do it. He doesn't say it like that. It sounds just like your own voice. Because that's what your subconscious hears. This is imperative, guys. If we don't understand this, see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning they're not of this world and they're not of the intellect, but are mighty in God for doing what? Pulling down strongholds. Where do strongholds exist? Bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So the strongholds are right here. Why? Because when man fell in the garden, his spirit became subservient. His mind became God. So now all of a sudden we think that just because we read it in here that we know it. No, until you know it, until you become it, you don't know it. So here we have strongholds that are up here. Well, you're always going to be the way you are because this happened to you when you were 5. That's not what God's word told me. I grew up in the Masonic homes. I was a drug addict for 22 years. I was an atheist for every one of those years. I hurt everyone around me. But God's word says that I'm a brand new creation. That's not who He made me to be. He made me to be a son. And if a son, then an heir. That's amazing stuff. Everything that Jesus used all the time, whenever He walked, wherever He went, is completely at my disposal to further God's kingdom. An heir means everything that's His is mine. That's amazing. I only know that much. But man, I'm using what I know. Because what I know doesn't mean just head knowledge. Know means relationship. Everything that I'm getting out of this relationship, I'm going full bore in and doing what the gospel says. I'm not just hearing it and walking away from it and saying, well, I don't know about that. No. Our mind needs to be quiet. This is real. A stronghold, the definition of a stronghold, if you look back in the day when David went and hid in strongholds, what he did, what a stronghold was a place that was usually high up, was barricaded, secluded, that was not easily assaulted by the enemy. That's a stronghold. So now what happens is, since we've been taught through the intellect the way that things need to be, or even by sometimes by leadership or by pastors who mean well, all of a sudden that's the way it is. So now this lady I approach at this place I was at, her hip gets on fire. We're done here. So now, even though God's doing a great thing in there, she walks away because of what is up here, and she thinks that that's not for today, because they use these things out of text and say, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? And just takes things out of text and focuses on that scripture. Because some pastor somewhere prayed for somebody and it didn't happen. Prayed for another one, it didn't happen. Prayed for another one, it didn't happen. So then they figure, he's the man of God. If God's not going to use them, then obviously it's not for today. I'm going to just believe that this doesn't exist today. Now I'm going to teach and train people the same way, because that's all I know. They mean well, but that's all they know. So now it becomes strongholds inside of our own body. To where, well, that doesn't exist because this person told me that and I believe them. And that person was told by them and they believe them. But that's not the word of God. So instead of establishing relationship, instead of experiencing eternal life and knowing him behind the closed door, instead of crying out from the intimate place saying, God, I've got to know you. You're my daddy and I can't become like you unless you reveal yourself to me. So I'm asking you right now, Father, out of everything in this whole universe, I'm asking you to show me who you are. Instead of going to church on Sunday and just listening to the person that's preaching and going away thinking that that's everything, they fail to open up this book, because every time we do open this book, we can't really understand what we're reading, because it's not meant for your intellect, it's meant for your heart, your spirit. So now all of a sudden your spirit man's crying out, oh! This is amazing. I hope I'm making sense. This whole thing is about going behind the closed door saying, God, I don't know you. And this book is showing me a lot of things that aren't existing in my life, but your book says it can. So I'm asking you to help make me more like you, Daddy. I want to be more like you. I want to have the mind of Christ. I want all these strongholds that aren't supposed to exist, that were placed there by man, to be taken out by the power of your word, with the Holy Spirit breathing. Breathing on my mind. Father, my mind is yours. My flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing. So I say, flesh, shut up, sit down. Spirit, have dominion. That's a good prayer. It's really good. You don't know what I feel right now, because I pray that a lot. Spirit man, take control. Holy Spirit, take control. Fan the flame. Come on, in my where? Soul, mind, will, and emotions. Holy Spirit, take control. Make this word alive and fan the flame inside of my brain, my mind, will, and emotions, my soul, because unless my soul understands what you're saying, I'll continue to run in circles and live my life the way I have. But I'm not going to do it, because Holy Spirit, take control. Fan the flame. My soul. I hope this made sense. There's so much I want to share. I can't. Because you guys have to get up tomorrow. Man. Father, I'm asking you to breathe on this, God, to make our mind completely, completely subservient, our soul subservient to your spirit, God. I'm asking you to breathe upon everything that we've ever been taught, God. And if it's in contradiction to what your word says, I'm asking you to make it right, God. Help us to live for you. Daddy, we want to be like you, and we can't unless you breathe upon us. God, we love you and we give you glory, and we ask you to help us fan the flame in our soul. We want to be just like you. We want to be just like you. Holy Lord, my God, make me just like you. Holy Lord, my God, I want to be just like you. Make my mind submit to the Spirit, 'cause I want to be just like you. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless the Lord. All that's within me, bless your name. Holy Lord, make me just like you created me to be. Help me to represent you, Lord. Help me to realize what's the call. Holy Lord, I worship you. Holy Lord, most of all, make me just like you, Daddy. Make me just like you, Lord. Holy Lord, fan the flame in my soul. Oh, there's more to you than just a reading. There's more to you than church. Holy Lord, fan the flame in my soul, even when it hurts. Oh my God, take out the trash. Have me live my life for you. Replace all the lies with your word that is truth. Holy Lord, fan the flame, taking out all the stuff. Holy Spirit, I submit to you, 'cause you're more than enough. Holy Lord, make me like you. 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 Thank you, Father. We just give you glory and honor, God. Just praise you. Father, make us ambassadors, Lord God. Make us kingdom warriors, Lord. Make us understand with our heart, God. Open the eyes of our hearts, God. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you and who you created us to be. God, we're asking you for the truth about this born-again lifestyle, that it's a life in abandonment to ourself and completely, passionately following you everywhere we go. Help us to understand what it means to carry your glory everywhere we go. Help us to understand what it means to be surrendered and submitted to your will, God. We know the will of God because everything Jesus said and did was exactly your will. Help us to do your will. Help us to prove your will. Renew our mind. Wreck us for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yay, God. Okay, we want to pray for people that are hurting. I don't care if it's a blister. We want to pray for you. We do. We go after everything. So if you need prayer, I would like you to please come up front. Please. If you're hurting. I see a crutch, Dave. You better come up here. We're going to come and get you, buddy.
We're going to sing of our great God. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, and I see the stars.
I need everybody that has any kind of sickness at all. If you need prayer, please come up front. We want to pray for you. Please come up front.
Sing out. And then sings my soul, my Savior God. how great thou art. And then sings my